We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We welcome you all to the south end zone of Kyle Field, late November. We hope everybody had a happy Thanksgiving. It had a nice topper to it on Saturday night when the Aggie football team closed their season by beating fifth-ranked LSU 38-23. This is another edition of the Yellen Review. I'm Will Johnson with our AD, Ross Bjork. He shows up every month to discuss what's on the plate of you, the 12th man. Again, you can submit your questions to Ross at 12thman.com/AskRoss for each Yellen Review. Well, there's two of us here right now. We believe a third will join us. He had media obligations.
Media darling Andrew Monaco. Yes. The voice of the Aggies.
It's not just a face for radio.
That's right.
He can go on camera and talk about the Aggies.
He's multifaceted.
Yeah. But so, he's joining us shortly.
He'll be in here. He'll come romping right in here and just like he never missed a beat.
Flip that iPad open. Yeah, he'll be ready to roll.
He'll be set.
He'll be just
absolutely
fine.
No, great to be back. Great to be back in studio, and I got my Team USA blue on today. They said
big to match
have
today.
Everybody, you know, wear blue. I got the maroon sprinkled in here, but go Team USA today.
Have to win.
See what happens.
Got to win.
Right.
That's right. As the World Cup is ongoing, and we've had plenty of submittals from the 12th man, so I guess not a whole lot of time for chit-chat before we get to these questions.
Right.
But I trust Thanksgiving was good. And then, like I said, a nice little dessert from the Thanksgiving meal on Saturday night to get that win here at Kyle
Thanksgiving
Field.
Was good. You can't pass up a good Thanksgiving meal, multiple meals, right? Then
That's
you have
right.
leftovers,
yeah.
and then you have – you know, then you make different leftover meals on Friday and Saturday, and then even on Sunday there's still leftovers.
Yeah.
So it was a prolonged Thanksgiving meal tribute. And then, yes, Saturday night was awesome. You know, it was great to watch our basketball team on Friday as we have our media darling joining us here.
Look who
Mr. Monaco.
Came
He's all
crawling
good.
Back.
He won't miss a beat.
I was trying to do this while you were on camera, and I could sneak in and just see if anybody
You were
noticed.
Waiting for the single shot.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
That's exactly right.
And
TV pro right there.
And then so watching watch basketball on Friday, and then the TV broadcast went out. So I switched over to the 12th Man app and listened to Dr. Thornton and Andrew.
You're getting a better account
call
anyway
the game,
right there.
Right, from
Dr.
There.
Thornton knows what he's talking about.
And
you just set him up.
I mean, I could follow the score. I could listen to these guys. And then the TV broadcast came back in. And then, Saturday night was really cool. And then it's always fun on Sunday listening to the radio. I tell you what, SiriusXM does a great job. They clip, and they use Learfield as a partner. They clip all the great calls. So his call when Moose made the one-handed catch.
Still shaking my head on that one.
That was amazing. So, just a neat weekend, and let's continue to keep building and moving forward.
Yeah. The Moose catch, Elmendorf was yelling, wow, and I was down there yelling, how?
Right.
How'd he catch that?
Dave was making us chuckle. He goes, this is why they pay me for those great things like wow.
Right. That's exactly right. That's right.
There was no better analysis of that
analysis.
Play than wow.
That play?
Because that's what we were all thinking.
Yeah.
You would think we'd not be surprised any longer because his first touchdown as an Aggie.
One-handed.
Mm-hmm. And it's the second one-handed catch he made in that game.
Yeah.
And they see it out of practice all the time.
Right. And maybe my favorite comment, though, is when Jimbo was talking to Will after the game saying, and they were holding him, but they didn't call
it. Right, exactly.
He had to make it one-handed.
There's a picture. One.
I'll tell you what.
There's a picture.
The 12th man photogs are amazing.
On point.
And those photos from that game just make you smile.
Yeah, no doubt. Mm-hmm. No doubt.
Great images from Kyle Field on Saturday as the Aggies beat the Tigers. But like we said, let's get to it because the 12th man has submitted plenty of questions for this edition of the Yale and Review. And the first one comes from Anthony Haas. He says he's class of 79 and 81. Might be a master's degree in there. So he's from LaGrange. I like those small town Texas spots, especially when they're by my hometown. But he asks, 5 years into the program with Jimbo, where do you rate the football program?
Yeah, no, thank you, Anthony, from LaGrange. We appreciate that. You know, here's what I would say. I would say it's an evolution. You think about just 2 years ago, we should have been a playoff team, right? I mean, I think a lot of people would argue that we should have been that fourth spot. We finished fifth in the final playoff ranking, finished fourth in the rankings after the bowl game, and went there and won the Orange Bowl against a really good North Carolina team. And so then it's an evolution, I think, of the program. And so the thing about Coach and what we're doing, we've never recruited this kind of talent here to Texas A&M. And so now, and there's another question too later about, just adjustments. And so now, look, no one liked what happened this year from a record standpoint. But you look at the roster, you look at the talent, you look at the things that we're doing to build the program, to build the foundation. It's easy to get down after 1 year and say, oh my gosh, what's happening? But the commitment, the building blocks, building this thing for a long-term approach is really something that we're all focused on, especially Coach Fisher. So to me, that's how I'd rate it, we were right there at the dance floor not that long ago. Last year, we had consistent quarterback play throughout the year. We finished 8-4. This year, inconsistent roster, just flow. Not having four guys started their position all year long. Mm-hmm. That just doesn't work in today's college game. You have to have stability and continuity of the roster, and this year was one of those years. So that's how I'd rate it, Anthony, as we move forward, and we're going to continue, like I said, to build and grow this program the right way.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned recruiting. I think it was 23 true freshmen played that we counted, Andrew, and I think 12 started a game.
12 started a game.
In the SEC West.
There was times that you'd look out there, even on defense, and you'd see 8 to – almost sometimes 11 true freshmen at each position.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so again, no excuses, and coaches said that. But you look at what is here, you look at, again, the talent on the roster. We've never been able to accumulate talent like we have under this coaching staff, and so that's what we're going to focus on moving forward is continuing to grow and retool what we need to retool.
Mm-hmm. And Sutton Turner is back post-Thanksgiving Yellen Review here, Sutton class of 93 from right here in College Station. Usually the questions are lengthy. I'm going to condense his a little bit. He complimented you on your communication ever since the Yellen Review began, which formerly was the town hall. But he does mention that after a tough football season, essentially, what hope can you offer the Aggie fan?
No, absolutely. Sutton, my job is, and I appreciate Sutton's comments about communicating, and we try to be transparent and visible, and I think we do a great job at that. And whether it's you going on TechSags a few minutes ago and representing the program, or me out there speaking, or whatever it might be, you know, we always want to represent the program, you know, the right way in a first-class manner. And so, you know, Sutton, I think, submitted this a couple weeks ago. And so,
tough
season. We all get it. No one likes to be where we are. And so what I would say, my job is to support our players and our coaches. And sometimes that just doesn't happen behind a microphone at a radio show or wherever it might be. But I've been out speaking the whole month of October, the whole month of November at various places. And so the hope that we can provide is that, again, we're making whatever adjustments we need to make. And Coach has talked about he's constantly evaluating the program. My job is to support him in those efforts. There was a change made, right, Monday after we're recording this on Tuesday. Sutton asked this question before the LSU game. There were a movement made on Monday within the football staff. And, again, Coach is going to continue to evaluate what is best for the program. Our job is to support him in those efforts. Our job is to formulate and contemplate. And he and I have talks all the time. We talk on a constant basis about what the program needs to either retool, evaluate, you know, other resources, those kind of things. And so the hope is we're building this to last. We're literally under construction as we speak. I just saw a crane lifting trusses for the new indoor football facility.
And soon to come right behind
we're
this wall.
Building suites. We're building a new indoor track. And so the hope is that Texas A&M is built to last. We have a great foundation. We have great people. And our job is to support them in those endeavors. And then if there's changes that need to be made, then we make appropriate changes, and we help facilitate our head coaches with what they need to build the program. Right. So how we'll address that.
We talk about whether it's change. Okay, I'll focus on that word in the question. So you didn't do anything after the Orange Bowl. There was no change after winning. It's always after losing, right? That's the fans' perception.
Right.
Is you're only
right.
changing it. When you win – he's evaluating the same thing.
Yeah.
It's not like it stops. Again, when you're winning, sometimes the coaching changes because someone likes who's on your staff, or that can happen even after any season.
Right.
But this thing about, oh, you have to change because you're 5-7, that was happening when they were 9-4.
Right. That's right.
9-1.
You're always under. I mean, look at great companies, right? I mean, look at Apple. They were basically dead, right, 25, 30 years ago. And Steve Jobs got his job back, came back, and retooled Apple, and gosh, now what's Apple? One of the most valuable companies in the whole world. And so things go in cycles sometimes, but you constantly evaluate, you constantly retool what you need, and that's the stage that we're always in athletics here at Texas A&M.
All right, thank you, Anthony. Thank you, Sutton, for those first two questions. We will continue on, and this one deals with the LSU win on Saturday night. It's from Nolan Moore, class of 22 in Orange, Texas, right by that Louisiana border. And he is asking, what are your thoughts on fans and students storming the field after the LSU game? Also throws in there, why do you believe they stormed the field? Get into the mind of the 12th man and the fans there on why.
Is this
why.
A psychology class here?
Right.
Nolan. So Nolan's class of 22. So that means he's already graduated, right? Maybe, we think.
Or
he could be a December grad.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember. I think Nolan may have submitted some questions earlier.
Was he the 22 and a half?
He might have been.
Somebody was the 22 and a half here recently.
So, Nolan, the question is, did you storm the field?
Yeah. Where were you, Nolan?
So maybe you could tag us on Twitter to answer that question. You know, look, I said this after Alabama last year. I understand why we stormed the field after we beat Alabama. They were ranked number 1 in the country. Right, and we had a couple tough losses. I understand why in 2018 the fans stormed the field after 7 overtimes against LSU. Saturday, to me, we need to have higher expectations. I don't believe that we should be storming the field in that situation. We thought it might happen as the game unfolded. We always have a plan no matter what the stage of sort of the season is. There's always a plan for fans when they storm the field. How do we protect the visiting team? How do we get the officials off? How do we protect our team? You know, there's different ways to approach fans storming the field. Look, it's not really a safe environment, and we saw some people getting run into and things like that. It gets really chaotic when people are literally running on the field and there's 1,000 people in front of them and they're holding their phone and they fall or they run into somebody. That's dangerous, right? And so, but the expectation piece, that's the part that we need to evolve and we need to get better. And so I believe the reason why our fans stormed the field is been a tough season, pent up sort of frustration. Yeah, LSU was ranked number 5 in the CFP playoffs. We spoiled their year, if you will, spoiled their playoff hopes. So I get why it happened, but that's where we just need to continue to grow and evolve the program is that we shouldn't storm the field. We don't need to do that moving forward. One, it's not safe overall, and two, we should have higher expectations. Yeah. And so that's how we're going to approach it, and we'll evaluate game procedures, and the SEC's doing a study, and our university excuse me, that was Siri. our university chief of police, Mike Johnson, is on that task force studying how to effectively manage those situations. So there's a lot to it. It's sort of mentality, and it's also logistics, and you've got to kind of manage both. And moving forward, I hope it doesn't happen again, because it's really about expectations here at Texas A&M.
Yes, I get all that.
Yeah.
I do. As a former player, two things. That place was full on a four. They were 4-7 coming in.
Right.
I can't say enough about the 12th man.
Oh my gosh.
At all.
Amazing.
Right? So if there's a player ever wonders, right? And I don't think they do if they come here.
That's right.
Saturday proves how special the 12th man is.
Right.
As a former player,
I
know it stormed.
Yeah.
Do you think that gets used for, man, this moment is great, the launching pad, why they may work in the offseason? Because players stayed there to be with the 12th man on the field.
Yeah.
And I totally get the safety part.
That's right.
But I was thrilled that they were able to celebrate with the 12th man.
Look, that
just like a feeling of joy.
Like the Alabama game last year. That atmosphere was a blast.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the place was rocking. The fans stayed into it every single play. They helped us out in key moments. I mean, I think the music was all synced up the right way. Our game productions folks did a great job. I mean, it was a fun atmosphere.
Yeah.
That's the way it should be. So the celebration part, you're right. That's where people can come together. Again, maybe we let out some frustrations by coming on the field. But to me, that's where the mindset of the expectation has to go to another level.
Mm-hmm.
And then something that you have to look at, I mean, Clemson, their tradition is they let people on the field, right?
Mm.
There's no storming of the field. They actually say, okay, here's a couple-minute cooling-off period, and then they allow the fans to come on the field.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a celebration moment with the Clemson players or the staff or whatever. So that's another way that somebody else does it, you know. And so those are all the things that we have to evaluate moving forward. But there's no doubt, man, what a great atmosphere. That is a ton of fun to play in those environments. The players, I know, embraced it. Ruben Fatherly, I think, was body surfing.
For a little bit.
Then they realized.
They didn't quite have the shoulder and tricep strength to hold up a 340-pound human being. So there was some neat moments, but I think it goes
into... But I can see trepidation.
It goes
into
several layers of the expectation and the logistics
of
it.
But to have the announced was 93, there weren't many seats left. And
It never gets old, Ross. That's the great thing about the 12th
man. So much appreciation.
Absolutely.
I'm going to continue to check this phone to see if Nolan wants to update us on his post-game whereabouts Saturday night.
So exactly.
I'm going to keep looking for that as we go along here. But
I'm hoping that he tweets out, I dropped Ruben.
Yeah. Or I helped him
out. How'd you make it this time?
Alabama and the 7 overtime against LSU was hard to get off the field. I will say this one was much easier.
Gotcha.
Because I made an early
decision. Yeah, yeah. I got you.
I didn't get caught up.
I got you.
That's right.
Michael Baca is class of 12. He's from Leander, Texas. He has a three-part question for you, Ross. I'm going to send all of it out, and if you want to break it down separately, you can.
Okay.
But here's all three of Michael Baca's questions. What metrics besides win-loss record do you use to evaluate head coaches? There's one.
Yep.
How much do you get involved in which assistant coaches are hired and interviewed? That's two. What efforts are being done from an AD and athletic department standpoint to win a Director's Cup, the all-sports ratings that come out at the end of the year? That's all three of them.
Yeah, no, it's a great question, Michael, and clearly he's paying attention, and we definitely appreciate that. You know, there's a lot of things that go into evaluating head coaches, and he said besides, so take out the win-loss record, what do you use to evaluate? And, you know, we'll take the volleyball example. Because we just recently made a change in the head coaching position there in volleyball. And, you know, in that program, we looked at really the consistency of what we believe we should be operating at. And we didn't see the consistency. We also looked at recruiting momentum. Is there any momentum in the recruiting space? Is there any momentum that you can point to, whether it's playability, whether it's recruiting, whether it's other energy around the program? Is there any sort of momentum? And maybe you can't really measure that. You can measure recruiting rankings and things like that. But is there any sort of momentum? And so, again, in volleyball, we didn't feel like there was that kind of momentum around it. And then, really, what's the vibe? What's the culture around the program? Again, somewhat hard to measure, but you know when it's going in the right direction. You know when, hey, maybe you had some injuries, maybe it was a down year because of whatever happened, inconsistencies, whatever, but the culture's right. You can feel that. You can see that. And so you look at all of those things as well when you evaluate a head coach and just the overall sort of morale and culture around the program. And then is there energy? Is there momentum? And then that's going to train. If you're doing all those things, the culture's right, the recruiting momentum's right, if there's other momentum, it's probably going to equate to are you performing well on the court or on the field or whatever, on the track, whatever it might be. And so that's some of the things that we use to evaluate. As far as getting involved in which assistant coaches are hired, the head coach needs to pick their staff. They work with those individuals every single day. I can't be around every program every day. The head coach needs to pick their staff. Usually we'll get involved if we need to help recruit somebody. We'll get involved if that person has any sort of background checks that we need to run through, whether it's compliance, through the SEC, whatever it might be, if there's anything that that person's been involved with in the past. But as far as like style of play, play calling ability, recruiting, things like that, that's up to the head coach to pick their staff. And I've always used that philosophy. I think that's the best approach. Sometimes when you go through a transition, the incoming head coach may ask your opinion. Mm-hmm. Hey, what do you think? Do you think we ought to talk to Andrew? Yeah, you should talk to him. And here's why. Here's some really good attributes about Andrew, but it's your call. But absolutely, I would encourage you to sit down and talk to this coach or that coach or this staff member. You know, give Schlossnagel credit. He kept Jason, kept Hutch, right? And initially he was thinking about, hey, I've got somebody that I want to bring. And then when he sat down with him, he's like, oh, this, I've got to keep Hutch, right? And so those things all play out. And then what efforts are being made? We've hired five new head coaches since I've been here. The volleyball will be the sixth. And so we want to make sure we have the right talent from a coaching standpoint to make sure that we get back in the hunt for a Director's Cup. Where can we finish based on the number of sports we have? We should definitely be in the top 12, the top 10. That's happened on occasion here. And so if we're not performing at the right kind of level, soccer did not meet their normal standard. Volleyball needs to get back in the NCAA tournament. Women's basketball has always been a tournament team. We weren't a tournament team last year. We need to get men's basketball back in the NCAA tournament, and we like our team this year. Both tennis and golf programs are poised, both men and women, tennis and golf, are poised to make really strong runs this year. Swimming and diving are both ranked in the top 25, and so we need to get more consistent performance. That's the bottom line, and so we are constantly saying, do we have the right people? Do we have the right resources? What do we need to do to retool any of that? And so there's a lot of efforts being done, whether it's facilities, whether it's talent, whether it's name, image, likeness, whether it's supporting the athletes in mental health, academically. There's so many things that are being done that should equate to performance to help us get in the hunt for a Director's Cup. So those are all the things that are that go into that, among a list of probably 200 other things that that happen on a weekly and daily basis.
Mm-hmm. Well done on all of Michael offered up there with the
some
three
good questions.
Questions.
I like it. Yeah. Like I said, he's paying attention. That's mm-hmm. great.
Robbie from Houston has an interesting one here. It seems like a lot of players slip on the black section around Kyle Field, essentially meaning the track.
Yeah,
Robbie references. I know it's for the horses in regards to the march in, but it would be horrible to see a player in their season because of it. Has there been any discussion around changing that surface when Kyle Field was being renovated, the grass went all the way up to the walls.
It did? It did. Okay.
So during the rebuild, he says the grass went all the way to the wall, but he's referencing players slipping on what is essentially the black track that is around Kyle Field.
So the stadium was done after the – right before the 2015 season, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that year there was grass all the way to the wall?
In
is 14. That accurate? In 14?
In 14,
okay.
While we were playing under a – Transition year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. So it's funny. Robbie must be in some of our staff meetings because we've talked about this. And so yeah, we're actually having conversations with the Corps about some of their pageantry as well. So those conversations are happening in the off season. We're going to be doing construction inside the seating bowl of Kyle Field. We're adding the suites, which means we're actually going to have a crane on the south end of the field, the playing field. So we're going to tear up the grass due to a crane being on there all the way up to about the 20, 25-yard line. Mm. And so in the off season, we want to address the track issue. What the surface will be, we're still kind of evaluating those things. But player safety has to be at the forefront of that conversation. There's also a slip, if you will, mm-hmm. around the edge of
it
as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which mm-hmm. goes between the grass and the surface that he's talking about, the track
right.
surface.
Is it part
and
of
that,
the drainage?
And that
right
can be
there, yeah.
kind of dangerous too. And so we want to evaluate all of that. And so it's a great point Robbie brings up, and it's something that is on the list, as they say.
All right. That's Robbie in Houston, and now we go to Robert Parker, class of 80 in Harker Heights, Texas. Ross, with the season ticket seat licenses from the total reseating of the remodeled Kyle Field expiring in 2025, this is looking ahead. What is the plan for renewals? Will there be another major reseating of the stadium? And then he throws in here, on another note, can we get Gatorade back in the concessions for next year? Really helped last year in September.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I didn't, I guess I didn't know we were serving Gatorade, and I wonder what we were doing, if that was bottles or if that was a fountain drink, or I'm not sure. So we'll ask Levy to check into that in Pepsi. You know, Pepsi owns Gatorade, so we're a Pepsi school. As far as, the term reseating, those – that may not be the exact term, but obviously, as Robert mentioned, there is going to be those seat licenses expiring. By 2025, that's when Texas and Oklahoma will enter the SEC. We hope that we have an expanded conference schedule. We go from 8 games to 9 games. That decision is still fluid right now, but our vote is for 9 games. So we hope that we almost have a new sort of platform by the fall of 2025. New SEC schedule. If we go to 9 games, we're playing Texas every single year. That first game will be at Kyle Field. We've talked about that. And so I think it's really a chance to kind of rethink all the game experience elements. Ticket pricing, concession pricing, fan experience items before, during the game. Team entrance gets a lot of play, right? We've had lots of conversations about music this year. So not that we'll wait on some of these elements, but I think 2025 gives us a chance to really reset in a lot of ways. And so that's what we're thinking about. That's what we're modeling We'll have different exercises, and we'll do some fan feedback on what some of those things should look like. We mentioned the crowd on Saturday. We didn't have a full capacity. It was a great crowd, but we always sell those upper end zone seats. Those are the last tickets to go. How do we look at those ticket prices? How do we get those seats in the hands of people on a more frequent basis? And so those are all the things that we want to really map out as we go into a new SEC model, if you will, around football. So there's a lot to it, Robert, and kind of film at 11, right? News at 10. Stay tuned, because over the next couple of years, there's going to be a lot of things that I think we need to address and evaluate and make some changes on.
All right.
First thing I thought about when he said the Gatorade, especially if it's a night game, Gatorade plus a banana and Tylenol. Usually the hangover cure, right? But it could have been just for hydration. Gatorade, maybe that's just me.
Gatorade to balance the 12th man lager.
Oh.
Right? He could, I mean.
Have
a beer.
Have a Gatorade. That's,
hydrate.
And that's something that we have the walk-in, the march-in, march-out, the walk-in technology.
How'd that go this year?
It went great.
Great.
Great. The numbers were great. It didn't affect other concession stands. And so hopefully, again, by 2025, hopefully we can have more of that kind of technology where it's easy to access things like Gatorade, things like pretzel, beer, hot dogs, those kind of things. So,
yeah. Very efficient.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. One more to go from the 12th man here, and it comes from Colin Rosser, class of 23 from Kingwood, Texas. He says, we have seen a flurry of coaches across the nation signing what would have been considered monster contracts, in quotations, by standards a few years ago. How do you as an AD handle the rapid contract inflation and seemingly higher risk associated with that increase?
Yeah, that's a great question, Colin, and he must be a sport management major, class of 23.
Possibly business,
contract negotiation major. There's no doubt that the last 2 to 3 years that the numbers, are getting really large in these contracts. And the way I would say it is, one, it's market driven. Two, if you believe in the person that you have, that person needs to have security, needs to have, stability within the university structure. And usually that comes in the form of contracts. Like it or not, that's the protocols that we have is you have a contract that provides security, that provides the coach with belief and faith that, hey, the university believes in me. And so if you have the right person, then to me, where does your program fit in the total landscape? How do you view that particular coach? What is the market dictating, if you will, in terms of the coach's contracts? And so we're fortunate here at Texas A&M that we have unbelievable support from the 12th man, our fans, our donors, the university administration, that if we believe in whether it's hiring Jim Schlossnagel, whether it's extending Jimbo's contract, hiring Joni Taylor, whoever it might be, look, if we believe in somebody, then we need to make the right kind of commitment. And so it's a balance as you go through. We can't exceed our means, right? So here's a budget, but also how do we make sure that we're invested at the right level? And so that's how we've approached it. There's all kinds of data, and we get comparable contract information, and we're doing that in the volleyball world right now. We're studying the landscape of where do coaches sit and where do salaries sit and all those kind of things, and you're constantly doing that. And so that's how we approach it as we go into this world of escalating growth around college athletics. And the numbers, they're not getting smaller. We'll have more revenue when the SEC expands, when we get our new ESPN contract, when the college football playoff expands, there's going to be more revenue in the system. And how do we manage that? How do we balance that? Those are all the things that we constantly deal with.
All right. That is the line of questioning from the 12th man today, and I am still without an update from Nolan Moore on if he was on the field Saturday night or not.
Clearly Nolan watches. So maybe he'll watch the recording of this, and then he'll
get with us.
If he replies to us, we'll let everybody know.
Nolan, you're not going to get in trouble.
Yeah,
like that's not. You know, no, don't worry about.
It's for research purposes.
Yeah, that's right. We just want to know.
He's a data collector. We learned that a long time ago.
We just want to know.
Ross needs all the information before moving forward.
That's right. Yeah.
Nolan's whereabouts would help with that. But quick programming note before we go. Next month, December, Christmas holiday, we will not be here for the Yellen Review in this studio for December. We will return in late January with the next Yellen Review, and that's an important time. Right around that date, you'll be at the NCAA convention. Mm-hmm. Spring sports are going to be cranking up with that semester still working through SEC scheduling models in the future. So late January.
Construction projects are going to be at another level. There'll be a lot to update in January. So thank you, guys.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Absolutely.
And to all you Aggies out there, our thanks to our producer, Matt Simon, our director, Thomas Burns, and our technical director, Chris Brogdon. That is another Yellen Review from the South End Zone of Kyle Field. Hope you had a happy Thanksgiving. Happy holidays coming up. Gig 'em.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.